privilege to be out this morning, isn't it? Amen. Such a blessing. Let's all bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just love and appreciate you this morning. Lord, as we rise out of bed every morning, Lord, we're just so thankful for the mercy and the grace you've given us. Lord, to rise out of bed with a praise in our hearts, Lord, for what you've done for us and a thankfulness. Lord, we ought to be such a thankful people. Lord, such a privileged people, Lord, for the mercy and grace and of showing us your word and the revelation of your word. Lord, it's something we don't want to take lightly, Lord. We just appreciate you so very much this morning. We ask you to have your way in this service. Everything that's saying, everything that's said and done be for your glory and your honor. In the precious name of Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Page 596, and only believe. I'm gonna hurt this morning. I feel the pull. Amen. Thankful if you do. At night I lay in bed and I began to cry. And my mind just fails to know exactly why. I can't explain with time.
Spirit's moving me to give my And I giving our all. Amen. Be thankful if you are. His mercy and His grace. Page 343. He left the splendor.
In heaven, amen.
Him. I love him because he thought of me. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Amos, would you bring up? Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, truly thy grace and thy mercy so wonderful. Thank you so much for it, Lord. Thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for this day, Lord, you've given us to gather around your precious word with our brothers and sisters of like precious faith. Lord, truly it is a wonderful opportunity.
Yes.
Don't want to take it for granted, Lord. We ask that our hearts and minds will be open to receive the portion you have for us this morning. May we sit intently, waiting upon thee. Lord, once more we ask that you'll bless this offering. Pray it will be used for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. We ask these things in your precious holy name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Mercy rewrote my life. Oh, mercy rewrote my life. Heavenly Father, Lord. Lord, we know we're standing here this morning, Lord, because you rewrote our lives, Lord. Lord, you took us from the path we was going down, Lord, and you headed us in the right direction. Lord, there's such a thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord, every day. Lord, we know it's your mercy and grace, Lord. We stand here with a desire burning in our hearts to hear thy word this morning. Lord, to grow another, Lord, to take another step in your. We just appreciate you and love you with all our hearts. Lord, we all stand here this morning with needs. Lord, if we don't have a need, Lord, we know somebody that does. Lord, if we don't know anybody that does, we got family, Lord. Lord, we could all use you, Lord. Lord, we just love you and appreciate you this morning, Lord, and we ask you to intervene, Lord. Wherever you see a need, Lord, it's a little seed, Lord, down inside of some heart that may be longing out, reaching out for you, for that still small voice, Lord, they hear pecking away. Lord, we ask you to give it to them this morning. Lord, you've freely given of it, Lord, and we're so thankful. Lord, we just ask that little bride all over the world, Lord, you bless her, keep her, meet their needs. Lord, we'll always give you the glory and the honor for it, Lord. And Lord, this morning, Lord, we just ask for revelation more than anything in this life. Lord, that's the greatest need we have, Lord. Lord, we ask you to touch each and every one of us this morning with your word. Bless us. Bless our pastor, Lord, as he brings forth the word. Make it easy for him. Lord, let him realize, Lord, we're sitting there hungering. Lord, thirsting after righteousness. Lord, just have your way now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. Mercy rewrote my life. Of mercy rewrote my life. I pastor to come as we sing that again. Oh, mercy rewrote my life. Amen. God's mercy rewrote my life. I should have fallen, my
fallen, my soul cast down. You may be seated for a moment. Amen. I'd like to read a quote before we read our scripture this morning. And I want you to think about this morning, as the prophet said, what he did in the church age book. This is page 379, paragraph 1. But he says, "But what about the true seed?" Now, you believe your true seed? Amen. By God's grace, you see. It will happen just as we have said. The people of God are being made ready by the word of truth from the messenger of this age. And why wouldn't I want to listen to that messenger? You see that word that he brought. In her will be the fullness of Pentecost, for the Spirit will bring the people right back to where they were at the beginning. That's thus saith the Lord. Amen. Amen. So if we read in the scripture what happened in Pentecost, when those people were really filled with the Holy Spirit, genuinely filled with it, then would not it do the same today? Amen. That's what that messenger taught. See? And if we go back in the scripture today and in those precious messages, then we too should be able to look at that. Amen. And if we are filled with the Holy Ghost, we should look at that and look at ourselves, compare ourselves to that, and know where we stand today. Amen. And what an assurance we should gain from that, you see. All righty. Let us all stand and let us bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we've gathered here again once more in this little building, and Father, to the world, it's nothing. There's nothing here for anybody, and it's not an important place as far as the way the world would look at. But in our hearts, Lord, it's important because you come here with us and gather in your name, Lord. We appreciate you so very much. And we ask again today, as the Word of God comes forth, that you would open our hearts to it and bring a greater reality in our hearts, that, Lord, we could get a greater assurance and know where we stand in this hour, that knowing the enemy, as we brought the other night, Lord, he's trying all he can do to devour us and to destroy us. But, Lord, by your mercy and grace, we shall stand. And, Father, if we thought we have stood, we'll stand some more. So, Father, we pray now thy will be done. We wait on you. Pray that you open the hearts of every one of us. In your holy name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's just read a verse of scripture before you sit down. Let's turn with me, if you will, to Mark the 14th chapter. And let's read here the 38th verse. And then we'll be seated, and then we'll go back and read some more goes along with this. Mark 14 and the 38th verse. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. May the Lord bless during his word, and you may be seated. Amen. Now, if you want to back up just a little bit, let's go back to the 26th verse. Excuse me. And, of course, we realize what's taking place here. And as they was getting ready to go to the garden, and Jesus wanted to pray, and he took his disciples with him. And it was his last few moments before he was to be betrayed. And of course, again, as we kind of spoke about Peter the other night, we want to maybe just kind of mention him again. But let's just read about the 26th verse and go on from there. And then we'll eventually get back over where we just read. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. Now, Jesus, you know, you surely would have thought that, you know, the disciples, all the disciples, would whatever Jesus said, that was it, you know. But yet, it wasn't their time yet. And they didn't take it that yet and take it that way. It's kind of like people do with what the prophet said in this hour. You know, the prophet would bring forth the message of the hour, what he said, and then yet they act like they never even heard it. Or they thought, oh, it's for some other day, it's coming, or this, that, and the other, you know, got some kind of excuse to come along. But Jesus said, "Oh, you shall be offended because of me this night." And I didn't say everybody but you, Peter. He said, "All of you." Yes. You know? "For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." So it was scriptural. You know? "But after that I am risen, I will go before you in Galilee." But Peter said unto him, now here comes Peter again, you know. "Although all shall be offended, yet will not I." He thought he knew, again, he was ready. He thought he was prepared for this great trial and test that was coming up, and he didn't have a clue what was going to happen. You know? "Yet will not I." And Jesus saith unto him, so Jesus had to tell him again. You know? "Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." But he spake the more vehemently, or much more plainly, Peter did. Lord Jesus, you're going to have to understand me here. You know? It's kind of the attitude people get with the message. You're going to have to understand me here. This is not what Brother Branham meant. This is what he said. And this, you know, just more vehemently. Regardless what was really said. Okay? "If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise." You'd have surely thought it would have registered. The Lord Jesus knew Peter's heart. Peter would have known that, you know. But he didn't have it figured out yet. He wasn't born again yet. Just couldn't get it down the way the Lord Jesus wanted to come to him. You know? Sure good thing Brother Peter was finally born again. Because he'd been a lot like a lot of people today. It's not. "But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all." So they all got in on the conversation then. "We ain't going to deny. You are not going to be offended because of this." You know? But they forgot who was speaking. Somebody that was never wrong. Never wrong. "And they come to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taken with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch." Notice what he said, watch. Didn't he tell us in the scripture the other night that we should be watching for our adversary, the devil? The walk of the battle is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour or destroy. Told us to watch. He told the disciples at this time to watch. Be ready. Be careful. Watch what's going on. Pray. You know? "And he went forward a little while and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him." I remember how hard this was for him. Prayed to where his sweat becomes drops of blood. You know? He knew what was going to take place. He knew the shame he was going through. He knew what was going to happen when they begin to mock him and scoff him and spit at him and laugh and say all manner of just crazy things the carnal flesh would do. He knew this. "And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour. Sometimes I feel like that's the kind of way we do, you know. God gives us direction, perfect instruction, exactly what He wants done in our lives. And we can't give Him an hour to watch and to be careful, to be ready for that adversary. We just can't do it. It just seems like there's just too many things in life to take care of to do that. You see? But He says, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. I want you to think how weak our flesh is. I'm not talking as much as a way of physical weakness. As far as physical weakness, there really isn't nobody strong. The strongest man on earth is not strong. Place him up against an elephant and see if he's strong. Place him up against a lion and see if he's strong. Well, David must have been strong. He conquered the lion. No, it was through God he conquered that lion and the bear, you know. But the strongest man on earth is not strong. As far as flesh, he's weak. But we speak of a different weakness. Yeah. And yes, it's flesh. But sometimes we don't realize how weak we are and how strong He is and how the Spirit is truly ready. You know? And again He went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when He returned, He found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer Him. And He cometh the third time and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners. Oh my. I was in my little room praying, and for some reason the scripture, the 38th verse, really was just pulsating to me. And I began to pray about it and think about it, meditate, go back to the Word, and to think about how in an hour of temptation, and Jesus Himself told him, the spirit is truly ready, the flesh is weak. I got to thinking just how weak we are, you know. You know, have you ever seen young Christians come in and over the years and they get all excited and everything. They're all just ready to dig in and they think they can conquer anything. But oftentimes they have thought that in themselves they can conquer anything. Because they found out they was predestinated. They found out that they was chosen of God. So they're going to conquer everything that comes along in themselves. And that way they'll conquer nothing. But through Christ, all things are possible. You see. And only through Christ can anything be conquered. You know. But sometimes we think we can conquer things. And yet when we are so weak in the flesh. I want you to remember again this morning, as the prophet said, we are our triune being. We are flesh, spirit, talking about that human spirit, and soul. And we realize how that, we've been taught many times, how that triune being operates, which is all of us, and how we respond to different things. But I want you to think on the way of this carnal senses. And we'll get more into it, but just to get a little ahead of myself, I want you to think how weak really we are. Just think as far as adults, if we're mature adults, we sit here and we see the people in the world, and we've seen a lot of Christians do it too. But people they work with maybe on the job or whatever, Maybe they use slang words just constantly. And then we see the Christian pick up those slang words, you know, and they start talking just like the sinner does. Hey, that's cool, man. You know, just using those type of things. I don't like using those things because it bothers me even to have to say these things. I just don't like using them. It's not me, and I don't believe it's Christ, you know. I just don't believe that's the way he would talk. Come say, hey, dude, you know, just different things we pick up in slang. Like I said a long while back, you know, it started in Hollywood, that thing, it's like, you know, it's like green when it is green. It's like purple and it is purple, but it's like, using that slang phrase. Before everything they say, it's like. And you see people, sinners in the world constantly, it's like, you know. But it's how weak the human race is. Somebody says something and they just pick it right up, you know. You've heard people say, as I've mentioned before, a minister that I once knew. You know, people would be telling carnal things. I mean, things shouldn't be talked about. And get to laughing with them. Dear Jesus. God's name in vain. You know? Some, they see a huge bridge. Oh my God, look at that bridge. Look how big it is. God's name in vain. You see? But they don't, it just doesn't seem to register. But that's how weak the human flesh is. The human mind, the flesh itself, if God doesn't bring it under control, it's so worthless. But yet in ourselves, we sometimes think we're so big and we're so great and we're so mighty and I know so much and this, that, and the other, you know. You take like music, how weak the flesh is. You take and get a ungodly music playing and get that Sputnik beat that Brother Branham talked about, and a double beat, and you watch what people start doing. Just so weak. Was it a worldly song or not? Just immediately the flesh gives in to it. Take a little baby, I'm telling you, maybe 20 months old, and listen to that music, and it'll sit there going, start going like this. Yeah. That's how weak it is. And we do things that's so, because it's flesh and it's weak. And we don't realize it's not like Christ. But I'm telling you, people, God is wanting to fine-tune a people for a rapture. And if we can't see that, you're missing something spiritually greatly. But God is fine-tuning a people to his word. God sent the messenger. He sent that word. He sent us the word and he sent that prophet that we would know exactly what God wanted. And he gave us many examples. I think about the other example just the other day, Brother Pitt was telling me about how it was, I believe, Brother Billy Paul and was it Brother Hicks, was it? It was going to play ball or something. And it was on Sunday. And Brother Bram seen them getting their ball gloves out and things. And he looks out the window and he hollers at him and said, you're going to mar your testimony. Because it was on Sunday. But that prophet was so in tune with everything God wanted. But still, we with carnal minds, we lose the tune. We can't see what God's trying to tune us in on. And we still do things that still isn't what God wants. If Jesus Christ himself was standing there and living today, would he do the things we do? Oh, sure, he wouldn't do most of the things we do. No. But I believe the Holy Ghost is trying to tune us in to that position to be conformed to the image of his Son. Amen. You see, and the prophet used the exact image. You know? Oh, my. Look how he spoke of it in the token. Everything in all these different messages, how he brought it out, and Christ, Mr. God revealed, all these different things. How it was to be completely in tune. Paul, prisoner of Jesus Christ. And that messenger was trying to bring us to that, what I read in the church age book. But are we missing something? We know a lot of people is, but are we missing something? You're the one sitting here today under the sound of my voice as I read these things. Are we missing something? Are we missing something that's going to keep us out of a rapture? So, well, I know all mysteries. I have not love you, nothing. You see? Have all knowledge and still be nothing. You see? It becomes a tinkling cymbal, a sound of brass, just a bunch of noise. You see? So, is my desire, is your desire, is all of us' desire together truly to really want to be conformed to the image of His Son? Or is it just, I want to be in this message? I want to follow because I believe it's truth. It's more than that. It's more than just following a message and believing it's truth. And saying it's truth and telling other people it's truth. You've got to know it's truth, friends. It's got to be truth in your life. You've got to be a written epistle read of all men. How many times does a prophet tell us that? You've got to be the Word being read. That if there was not a Bible around, people will be able to read you and know that's the Bible. Oh my. So now what they did then, and as we begin to read these things about Paul, the things he said, as I read these things, I want you to ask yourself, is this me? Can I match this? You see? Can I match it? Now if I can, I'm truly assured I am filled with the Holy Spirit. If I can't in something, maybe I see it working around everywhere else that I'm absolutely in there and I'm born again, then maybe there's a short place that needs mended. Maybe you'll hear these things and it'll be nothing to you. There's even no desire for it. Then you really need the new birth. You need to cry out to God. If there's any desire at all, even a spark of one, you know. So, as we go into these things, I'm telling you, friends, there's temptation all around. Are we watching? Are we with readiness? Knowing our adversary is trying to shoot those darts. And he's going to try to find that spot that's open. Remember, he's got that one punch at you. What are you going to do with it? Huh? Are we guarding that? Are we guarding? Are we? Is our tongue been tamed by the Holy Ghost? That's the only way it can tame. There's been all kind of animals tamed, all kind of creatures. Yeah, but no man can tame the tongue. So regardless of what we think through the intellects, I cannot tame this. Only the Holy Ghost can tame it. Only the Holy Ghost can keep me in a position where if I'm hearing slang all around me, I don't pick it up and I start talking like sinners. That's the only way. Yeah. That's the only way it'll happen. And there's all kind of sinners around you every day. At least there is me. I had to deal with it every day. Yeah. And I'm sure if you're out in the public, they definitely are dealing with you all day long. Yeah. They got all kind of garbage they try to come up with. You see? But what are you doing with it? Don't want to do this certain thing just because another brother does it? Oh, how in the past over the years, and you, a lot of you people know what I'm talking about. If they seen a brother over here doing it, it was all right to do. If they seen the pastor doing this, they thought, oh, this is all right. I didn't make it right because the pastor, he might have been wrong. You see? That doesn't make it right because the pastor done it. No. No. What does the Word say about it? You see? But people want to try to imitate other people. Yeah. They want to try to be like somebody else. There's only one you should be like, and that's Jesus Christ. You see? Oh, my. So now, keep these things in mind. I said, but if you want to just think how weak we are, in the carnal sensual realm, without the Holy Ghost, you take anything that comes along, and this flesh will fall for it. Anything. It'll fall for it. As we talked about, even the little babies. Playing that old ungodly beat, and they're just doing this thing, and they can't even talk yet. Yeah. And it goes right up into the adults, and it goes right into Methodist churches, and the drums beating, and the guitars banging, and all kinds of things. And that's the only reason they're singing, because they're getting in a beat. Da, da, da. Instead of a worship. You see? But people are so deceived that they think because they're moved around, because that music is beating, that's in the spirit. Ain't no more in the spirit than that light bulb's in the spirit, friend. No, that's just in the flesh. You see? And people, they lean on getting in the flesh. Yeah. They try to get things where it gets in the flesh working. Yeah. Remember I read you before, years ago, those video games. I read you a thing on it where a warning had come with some of them. How it was very stimulating to the senses. Yeah. And yet back then people was letting their children play them ungodly games. Hope none of you are now. But the thing is, they'd play them ungodly games and just foolish things, knocking things over and hitting each other and running over each other and killing each other and cars running over each other. And that's all stimulating the senses. But that's how weak the flesh is. It's so weak. Oh, it's so weak. It's just no good without God. And it's all going to be ashes. Under the feet of the righteous one day. All that at that time people got stimulated with different things in life, it'll be dead and gone and destroyed. You see? Let's go on. I'm going to read Romans 8. Let's read some scriptures first. Romans 8, and let's read it, begin the first verse. Now here's Paul expressing what the new birth, how it handles things. Okay. Now remember, this is what happened back in Pentecost. Yeah. You know, a lot of people, as soon as you mention Pentecost, all they want to think about is the dead raised and the blinded eyes. That's all they want to see. It's all they want to know. But when it comes to the life part of it, it's not very interesting. It isn't very appetizing to hear about the life part of it because it's a greater price to pay, you know. But Romans 8:1 said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Oh, how you get in Christ? Through the new birth. "Who walk not after the flesh." Now remember, the flesh is weak. Is it not? All right. And here, if you look it up in the Greek, the flesh, it says, sensuous nature of man, earthly nature of man apart from divine influence. Yeah. But after the Spirit. So after this new birth, they walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay? "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus." There's that new birth. Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. It's made me free from it. Yeah. Now there's a whole different desire. Yeah, it's a whole change in desire. Yeah. "For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh." Flesh can't handle living by the word. Not in itself. No. Remember the prophet said, this is a life you cannot live yourself. Nope. No way. Ain't happening. "For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh." See, back under the law when they offered their lamb, every year, to have their sins covered for a year. That didn't change their desire. They still had the same old desire. But under this day, and having a new birth, there's the desire change. Things look different to you. Yeah. Or used to, maybe before your new birth, you'd... people would say their slang things and do the things they do and have actions. You know, they'd do certain actions and you would like that. And you would then try to imitate it. And then you want to do it to try to make the crowd laugh at you or to make yourself feel important to them. You see, because you've seen somebody else do that. Yeah. But so carnal. You see? For what the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Oh my. Pretty simple then, isn't it? When people want to pick up the things of the world and you just can't leave it go. Somebody comes along and does something and, oh, I like doing it because they do it. And the flesh just picks right up on it, and the way we carry it off, then we find ourselves doing the same thing. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Yeah. Now to you, it's the most interesting thing to you now, and the most desiring thing is to fulfill the Word of God and see Christ in every action. Did not our prophet say? Or is it going to be like Jesus told Peter? Didn't register. Is it going to register with us when he said, our actions must declare him? Is it going to register? Or is it going to be like Peter before his new birth? The Word of God spoke as plain as if Jesus Christ himself was standing there and said, because he spoke it through that prophet. Of course, we could be like a lot of people in the message. He was just filling in the message with saying that. He wasn't really meaning that. It's impossible. We're human beings. So it is. It is to the unbeliever. But to the believer, it isn't impossible that our actions declare him. If we feel that way and we don't believe that our actions have to declare him, why are we in this message? Why don't you leave it? Get out of it. I don't understand that part. People don't want to listen what that prophet said, and they do what they want to do, but yet they want to follow it. But many were called, but few are chosen. You see? It's not interesting to see every detail fulfilled in their life. Sister Brother Brandon was a prophet. See, I know mighty signs and wonders miracles happened through him. And they missed the message. But even that, friends, must be fulfilled in that bride in order for a rapture. Why else would he have said it? Oh, so you're just believing way too much. Well, I'm glad that's the problem. I hope I believe it all. Everything from A to Z. Yeah. But to many people, it isn't important. And they just push it off. Actions declare Jesus Christ. Now, impossible. So it is. Lord, help us. To be carnally minded is death. In other words, fleshly, yeah, sensual, minded, not word minded. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Maybe that's why so many don't have peace. It is one of the fruits of the Spirit, you know, having the Holy Spirit. But maybe it's why no peace is there. Yeah. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Well, if that little four-letter word would come more alive to us, life. Life. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. In other words, God hates it. God can't tolerate it. For it is not subject to the law of God. The carnal mind isn't. No. Neither indeed can be. Let me just mention this one little thing before we go on. Now to that little child even, little small feller, you know, and hearing that worldly beat, that music, and it gets to moving its limbs and even nodding its head, you know, because it's beat. What's one that's filled with the Holy Ghost do? They hate it. And surely anything they hate can't conquer them. But if a desire is there for it and the love for it, it'll conquer. If the like, let's put it that way, if the like is in there for it, won't we like getting in even though it's something that's just junk? But when you hear it, it's, stand it. It's against God. And God hates it. See, the desires is altogether different. You know, when you get older, you kind of, it gives you a little bit of a boost in understanding of what it is, what I just got done saying. There was things I used to like to do when I was young. And now I've become an older person. Those same things mean nothing to me. Nothing. I remember when I first started driving, I had to have a car all hacked up in the back end, big wide tires on it, mag wheels on it, and a loud one. You know? And now I hear one go down the street and I can't stand it. But something, as changes take place, I used to want to go to the Bahamas. And now, I couldn't care less if the Bahamas blowed up. You know? But things change. That's just a little idea of what happens when you receive really genuine new birth. Things change. The want of it is gone. You don't even consider it. No. And if it's contrary to what God does, you can't stand it. You know, it's like the prophet said in church age book, talking about the early church, they hated the works of the flesh. I mentioned Thursday night. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh. He's telling us what happens if you're born again. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now, if he would have stopped there, anybody could just come along and put a claim on that. But he didn't stop there. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Now, it's become inactive to the carnal. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. I'll show you here in a little bit what he's saying. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. There's a whole change in life. A whole change in desires. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. Now, if you're in debt to the bank on something, you bought a car and you're in debt, you what? You owe them. Is that right? For that automobile. And until it's paid for, you're in debt. Okay? But he's saying here, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. We don't owe. Now, being filled with the Holy Spirit, we don't owe having to live after the flesh the way it would live. The carnal senses. No. No. No way. So now when I hear that beat and that music and ungodly stuff going on, I don't owe to have to, oh, I got to go back over to that. No. I'm free from it. I'm free. It's dead to me. You see? It's dead. People's slang out here is dead. Is it dead to you? Is this worldly music that Satan tries to grab you on all the time, is it dead to you? Or when maybe the wife ain't in the car or the children ain't around, you go ahead and turn it on. Oh, I like that. I like that. That's some good stuff. Yeah. That's some good hell stuff, isn't it? It's going to take you straight to hell because your desire hadn't changed. Oh, friends, every action must declare Him. Every action. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify or kill the deeds, in other words, of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So, you're led by the Spirit of God, and now when people come along with these things and you hear this music and maybe the preacher's doing this and they ain't right and you want to try to act like, that's all dead to you now. Yeah, they can do what they want to do, friends. You've got a whole different, tired life now. Yeah. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now let's turn 2 Corinthians 10. Let's try to get these scriptures in first. I'm going to try to get these in real quick. 2 Corinthians 10 in the third verse. 2 Corinthians 10th chapter, third verse. Now again, Paul's giving fruits of what the new birth produces. This is what happened in Pentecost. This is what people's lives changed to. Is that right? Amen. Amen. For though we walk in the flesh, we read this the other night. Get it with what we just read today. We do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, our armor, our swords, our shields is not carnal. It's not carnal imagination. It's not carnal reasoning. It's not carnal affection. No. It's not carnal memory. Carnal conscience. No, it's not that no more. That's not your weapons no more. Carnal memory, when that used to be your weapon, you'd maybe remember somebody done something to you years ago and you just can't stand that person because of that. And you still try to find every avenue you can to get back at them. Or maybe they come around and you just turn your head because you still don't like them. Yeah. You don't want to talk to them because maybe what they did. Yeah. It's not carnal memory anymore. Now it's remembering what Jesus Christ done for you and what He can do for that other person. Yeah. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We talked about that the other night. Casting down imaginations. That carnal imagination. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought. Wow. To the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Yeah. And when I read that, I think of all the possible different situations and circumstances that can come up in our lives. Yeah. To bring every thought and obedience before we do what we do. Every thought. My. And it may seem harmless. But yet, as harmless as it may be, is it the will of God? Is it what God wants in my life, personal, as a personal individual before the Lord? Not as a group affair, but is it what God wants in my life as an individual? Is that the way we approach things? But there's been so many times in the past where it's whatever the rest of the congregation is doing. You know? If this brother bought a Chevy, we all wanted a Chevy. I'm telling you, was that crazy before, friends? If we all bought a wilderness camper, we all wanted a wilderness camper. Yeah. That's just how carnal people can get. So carnal. And sometimes women today still, message-believing women. If his sister's got a brown pair of shoes, oh, I like it, bro. I got to have that brown pair of shoes. Yeah. Oh, I like that. I want that just like that. Yeah. Oh, my. Oh, my. So carnal. Got to have what everybody else has got. I've seen that so many times over the years. Yeah. And you know that's true. If you don't, you're blind. You don't observe very many things. You don't listen. You don't pay attention. But you know that's true. But it's just how carnal, how weak the flesh is. Yeah. Casting imaginations and every high thing and exalt itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That sure goes along with every action declaring Christ. Does it not? You think it before you say it. And it's got to be controlled from here before you think it. Yeah. The soul. For the soul controls the spirit, and the spirit controls the body. And having a readiness, in other words, constantly watching, to revenge or retaliate all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. See, we don't understand why the obedience is being fulfilled, the disobedience is being retaliated against. So if we would focus on being obedient and doing what God's wanting out of our life and listen to the word and the things the prophet said and read his messages and if he says, I repeat again, all our actions should declare him. Every action declare him. Then should not that be something we focus on? Should not be a desire burning on the inside to be just like that? You see? Or is this flesh still, we're so weak through the carnal senses and carnal mind without that new birth? We yield to cares of life. The things to us that seem to be more important instead of the word, you see. Having readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I'm going to read something here in Works as Faith Expressed before I read another scripture. This was November 26, 1965, paragraph 204. Now remember, I just spoke about this, but I want you to listen to this again, what he's saying. Would you do that? Amen. All right. Now remember, you're in a cycle of three, but you're one person. Like Father, Son, Holy Ghost, cycle three, but one person. Three attributes of the same God, fatherhood. Three offices, like fatherhood, sonship, and Holy Ghost. And you are body, spirit, and soul. Now the outside body has five inlets to it to contact your earthly home. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. And notice there's an organ for every one of those things too. Okay? The inside, which is a spirit, it has five senses, conscience and love and so forth. But the inside of that, the soul, has one thing, and that's where you live. The spirit can come out here and anoint you to do a certain thing, and you do it. But that don't mean you're saved. Keep that in mind. So don't rely on what I'm speaking about today. Don't rely on an anointing came down on you. Maybe you spoke in tongues in the past. Yeah. Maybe you had something great happening. Like maybe you prophesied of something that would take place and it happened. Yeah. Think of it. Caiaphas prophesied. Judas cast out devils. See, the Spirit anointed him. This rain falls on the just and the unjust. Now think of that. It falls on the just and the unjust. This anointing. And what they do is right. Yeah. That doesn't mean they're saved. Yeah. I could get up here and preach like an angel. That doesn't mean I'm saved. No. By no means. My life has to live what I'm saying here. And if it don't, I'm lost. You see? All right? The weeds can rejoice with the wheat. And that's, isn't that simple, though? Isn't that such a simple way to put it? I mean, how could you put it any simpler? I mean, if you have actually seen wheat fields and then see weeds come up in it. And it rejoices and it grows and spurts great growth the same as the wheat when it rains. Yeah. That doesn't mean it's a wheat. Just because it's in the same field even. No. And the thing it is, when he speaks of tares, that is a plant, friends, that looks almost exactly like a wheat. But it's not. Yeah. But it's what it is at the core. Did you hear what he said? It's what it is at the core, the soul. Okay? There's where you can, he said, intellectuals can accept and say, oh, sure, that looks good. I believe that. That still don't do it. No. It don't do it. No, sir. And the Spirit can actually make witness of it. Think of that. And still it isn't so. Because if that soul hasn't come from God, it can make all the impersonations out here, but it cannot be real. You can act healing. You can act like you have. You can act like you receive it. Wow. Christians can act like they're Christians and act ever so good at it. Wow. How can this be? But that don't mean they're saved. That's exactly right, see? The Spirit can be there, real, genuine Spirit. The Holy Spirit can anoint you. Wow. Think of that, how close that gets. The Holy Spirit actually anoints you. You would think, in the carnal way thing, you'd think, well, why would the Holy Spirit anoint a non-saved? Why? And why would the Holy Spirit even fall on somebody and cause them to do that? God had a purpose in it. You see? Right? That still don't mean you're saved. It's the inside soul that never dies. It's got eternal life. It always was eternal life. See, it come from God. It goes to God. It's the soul. Now notice that it's got to be five, faith, F-A-I-T-H, outside, spirit, Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, on the inside, you, Y-O-U. That's how, standing here, looking at you, I don't know one of you. The Spirit can anoint me. Still, I don't know none of you. But when that inside of the inside breaks in, that's God. That's where the outside can reason. You take a man, well, you know, I know I'm not supposed to commit adultery. Yeah. And if you'd be honest, you would know you really shouldn't say those slang things either. Yeah. Like sinners talk about. We're not to be like the world. We're supposed to be like Christ. You know? We're not supposed to be listening to godly music. Yeah. The world does that. Yeah. Does it take a beat to make me rejoice? That's one thing I got to say about that little church I went to last Sunday. It was not a denomination or anything. It was just a little church. But I'm going to tell you why. Their song service was better than a lot of message churches. Yeah. A lot better. Yeah. They didn't have that double beat and all that banging beating and all that nonsense going on like a lot of them's going on. No. No, they didn't. I was kind of surprised, you know. Thought, wow, you know. And there was people there that was sincere. More sincere than a lot of people in the message are. There was people hearing the message, and I'm telling you, they was just broke clear down. Their hearts was just broke down. They cried. Yeah. Yeah. Didn't know nothing about the message. And I think how hardened people has gotten to this message, to the move of the Spirit, to the respect of the Holy Spirit. How hardened people are getting. They've had the silver spoon handed to them. That's to say, everything's owed to them. I'm owed this and I'm owed that. I'm a son of God. They can't even feel the move of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit ain't there and just can't touch inside their heart because they got their mind on so much what they got to do tomorrow. Oh my. I'm going to tell you, your adversary, the devil, he's tearing people apart. And they don't realize it. In such a sly and cunning way. Yeah. Then when they hear a preacher get up and say anything about it and scream out against it, they think he's fanatic. Why? He says, for the outside can reason, you take a man, well, you know, I know I'm not supposed to commit adultery, but you know, then the Spirit tells me I shouldn't commit adultery. But you see, way down in there, still that thing is there. Still it'll kind of govern around. He says, you better watch it. But when it's directed from the inside, it throws all the rest of it together. That's the guidepost. Now he's talking about the real gene of God, the control tower. The inside of the inside. The soul controls the spirit, and the spirit controls the body. Yeah. There's where you're going to get your strength, friends. That's what's going to control. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is ready. So an outside whitewash don't make any difference. Them religious people back there that Paul called white walls and so forth, they were outward just every way a believer. And they had prophecies among them and everything else. But the inside of the inside, the soul that disbelieveth, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Is that what Scripture says? That's the reason I say people can jump up and down, speak in tongues, people can shout, lay hands on the sick, heal the sick, and so forth. By faith. By faith. My. You know, sad to say, but boy, wouldn't that be message bait today. Brother Bam talked about Martin back then, things that God done, and talking about the devil come in disguise as Jesus Christ, you know, and said, Martin, fall down and worship me. I'm Jesus Christ, your Lord. But he already had a crown on. And Martin knew, nah, he wasn't supposed to be crowned yet. Amen. Satan, get behind me. He said, wouldn't that be Pentecostal bait today? I think of the many things today, it'd be message bait today. Yeah. They'd just fall for anything. If somebody gets hands laid on, they get healed. Oh, my, my, my. That's the real reality. And then the preacher gets right up and cuts right off what Brother Brandon said. Takes away adds to, message bait. And I could give you names, friend, of people in this message that you know. Friends, that's all they're looking for, mighty signs, wonders, and miracles. But talk about their life, and they get so bored they can't stand it. Yeah. Oh, my. It's the soul that disbelieves. See, that's the reason I say people can jump up and down, speak in tongues. People can shout, lay hands on the sick, and heal the sick, and so forth by faith. All these great things there by the Spirit. And still be lost. Anointed ones. They may wonder why I'm reading that with what I've read so far this morning. I'm running out of time. Actually, I'm out of time. Amen. Won't you sisters come up to the instruments, please? Let me read one more scripture and then we'll close. I won't say too much about it until maybe this evening or next time I take it. Galatians 5 and 16th verse. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. You see, not under the law, this rule of flesh trying to control you, you don't owe it that. No way. But some people think without revelation, they still think, I'm in the flesh, I'm just going to have to live like this. Nonsense, friends. God's word is more conquering than that. Amen. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery. Oh my. Look at the forms your adversary, the devil, walketh about, putting on board, billboards, magazines, and all kinds of things, all kinds of sale items, things in the stores, try to get you caught in adultery. Naked women. Yeah. So, Brother Steve, I ain't going to bed with them. He that looketh upon a woman to lust after hath already committed adultery in his heart. Yes. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness. One time I took the time, went through each one of these things and explained each one of them. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies and murders and drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are after Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Oh, think of that. Crucified that carnal. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's why I say this morning in closing, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Not after the flesh, the carnal things of the flesh. Can Satan give us things and offer us things that we just immediately just are so gullible that we just gulp it up, swallowed it, whole line sinker. Just take it right in without even realizing what we're doing. Oh, my. I know, friends, you may think, why things like this spoken yet? Where are people this much further up the ladder than that, Brother Steve? One thing about on the day of judgment, you'll find out. Well, you expect us to be perfect? Yes, be ye perfect, even as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Come to the fullness of the stature of Christ, the unity of the faith. Come to this place that we are, again, the Word in flesh. Jesus Christ living in us. Written epistles, read of all men. When they look at us, they'll know you're different. They'll know you got something real, genuine. Yeah. I think of the brothers in this message. That's got show cars. And go to these car shows. And their pastor don't say nothing about it. What do you think that looks like with God? Take a material thing, put all that time in it, and make it look so spiffy, and then want to go and show that material that others may look. Fanatic I might be, but let me be fanatic if I am. Amen. I know Jesus Christ would not be interested in those things. One time at a place I was preaching at, and I was talking about their show cars. I thought, oh God, where is people? Get up and sing and be song leaders. Deacons in the church. I'm going on all that filth, them car shows, naked women and everything. Yes, filth. Nonsense. Crazy I might be. But I hope this nut makes it in. I'm trusting in that. Yes. I want to be just like Christ. I want him to live in my life. And anything going on in my life, it's not like him. I pray, oh God, show me that I may crucify it and mortify it. I'd be more like you. There's so many things going on, friends, in this message. It makes me sick. How could it be? How could it be? Pastors' wives with clothes they can't keep below their knees when they sit down. How could it be? God, help me. Prepare me to be a living sanctuary. Let us all stand. One thing about it, friends. If you think I'm crazy and I'm nuts, you don't have to stay. No. You'll never hear this preacher trying to keep you here. Nope. Only the Word. Yeah. I'm not looking for numbers. I'm not looking for how many. I want to see quality. Quality. Something real and genuine. Well, don't that bother you, Brother Steve? If everybody'd leave you? No, friends. Been there and done it, as the old saying is. Yeah. I'm not here for that. But I must preach what God lays on my heart. Amen. And trust in him. That he will keep me from fanaticism. But I will hold to that truth 100%. And not be in fear to tell somebody they're wrong. And tell them how carnal it is. And foolish. If only they'd get in the Spirit. As the prophet spoke of, if only that Holy Spirit could lift up in that spear. You could look down and see all this thick above, friends. God, lift me up in that spear. The Father, all I see is you. All I know is you. As Paul said, I know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Let it be real, Lord. That's what was in Pentecost. The real Pentecost. Real prisoners of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God, help us now. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we bow our heads and our hearts before you, I'm looking to you, Lord, who's the author and finisher of our faith, the one that knows all things. Yes, to the world, Lord, I'm sure we'd look crazy. To a lot of people that's following your message in this hour, we would look crazy. Say, you're going too far. No, Lord, I don't believe we've gone far enough yet. Or there had been a rapture. Lord Jesus, help us now. Help us to find these places, Lord, in our lives that's not pleasing to you. For now, Lord, is the time that we stand before you. For judgment begins at the house of God. That, Lord, we won't have to stand before you on that day. But now is the time we can mend. Make sure everything's right. Make sure our lives is fulfilling what your prophet said and what your scripture says. That, Lord, things as the prophet, and we mentioned in our little message, that all of our actions should declare him. Lord, how true that is. Help me, Lord. Help me to find that place. I pray for each one of these people, Lord, that they would find that place. It cannot be done through the carnal flesh, for the flesh is weak, but the spirit is truly ready. So help us now. We each, Lord, want to commit ourselves unto you. And Lord, I pray for these young people. I pray, oh God, that you'll touch every heart. Touch the middle-aged, the old, whoever it may be, Lord, all of us. Don't let nothing go, but help us all, Lord, to mend and make right. In your holy name we ask. Be with us now, protect us, keep us safe is our prayer. And if you should tarry, bring us back safely tonight. Lord, thy will be done now. In your holy, precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. 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 Thank you, Lord, for your precious mercy and grace. Amen. Mercy rewrote my life. God's mercy rewrote my life. I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. Oh, mercy. Yes, it did, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, praise your holy name. God's mercy rewrote my life. I should have called my soul cast down, but mercy Jesus richly bless you. You're dismissed. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.